Evening. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 3. Romans, chapter 3. Look at verse 20. Romans, chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. I'll stop my reading right there. But I want you to look at verse 25. And let me read the Amplified New Testament. Whom God, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, put forth, whom God put forth, Christ, before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation by His blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. That is, God has put forth Christ as a mercy seat through faith in His blood. Keep that thought in your mind and turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's break in at verse 18, where Peter said, "For as much as ye know, ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Nearly 2,000 years ago, a man was crucified outside the city of Jerusalem. In fulfillment of Old Testament scripture, two other men, murderers, thieves, were crucified with him. But we're thinking of the man who died on that center cross. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, in and through his crucifixion, accomplished something far above and beyond simply dying. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, Peter rebuked the Lord when the Lord Jesus spoke about going to Jerusalem and dying at the hands of men. Peter rebuked the Lord and said, "Not so, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And all Peter was thinking of was his friend dying. The Lord Jesus knew that in and through his death, something would be accomplished far above and beyond him simply dying. Peter did not see that at first. Later he wrote, "We are redeemed not by gold and silver from our vain or empty way of living. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ." He was made to realize the truth of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. in Matthew chapter 17, when the Lord Jesus continued speaking about his impending death, the disciples were exceeding sorry. They were thinking of his death as a tragedy. They failed to see or comprehend at that time his death as a triumph. The cross, as a crucifixion, was the act of man. But the cross, as an atonement for sin, was the act of God. When Jesus died upon that cross, when his precious blood was shed, God did something for the human race which is of infinite significance for every human being. But for any human being to obtain and enter into all that God, through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, accomplished, every person must receive Jesus Christ as Savior by faith. Now, there are people today, and I'm speaking of professing Christians, mind you. I'm speaking of those, and I'll use the broad term, those among Christendom. Those who profess to be Christians, they do not want to hear anything about blood. One particular religious denomination determined they would delete from their songbooks, from all of their singing, anything about blood. I was speaking in Wilmington, North Carolina, some time ago. I speak there on a regular basis, but this was some time ago when I had conversation with this brother about the blood of Christ. I had been speaking about the blood of Christ. After the service, he told me about the time he was saved. He was a Sunday school teacher in this same particular religious denomination that I have in mind. But he went to some gospel meetings, received Christ as Savior, and continued for a short while to teach his Sunday school class in that denominational system. And having now been saved and realizing what the blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ means, he began to bring this out in his Sunday school teaching until the Sunday school superintendent came to him and said, "We don't want any talk about blood in these Sunday school classes." How sad. There are those people who do not want to hear about blood. To them, it is primitive. It's too repugnant for their refined, cultured, sophisticated taste. They don't want to hear about blood. Talk about Jesus as the good example. Talk about Jesus as a good man. Don't talk about blood. But the Bible says, without shedding of blood is no forgiveness. That is Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Away back in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, God said that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Now this is the word of God. Without shedding of blood is no forgiveness, no remission of sins. And some might ask, well, why would God demand the shedding of blood in order to forgive us? In order for us to be saved and go to heaven? Why would God require sacrifice for sin? Why would God require the shedding of blood? An earthly father, some would say, does not require an atonement, a sacrifice by his offending child in order for the father to forgive him. But let's keep in mind now that no human relationship can fully illustrate what we're talking about between Almighty God and His creatures. Because whatever father we would use as an illustration, we are to understand that the father is a sinner as well as the child. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now when we're thinking about God, and it is true, the Bible speaks of God as a father image, but in thinking about God, we're thinking about one who is sinless. We are thinking about one who is holy. And God says, without shedding of blood is no forgiveness of sins. And the basic truth of the Word of God is not that God demands blood so much. It's not so much that God demands it. It's that sin requires it. Sin requires it. And for anyone to be saved, it is through faith in His blood. Let me read Romans 3, 24 and 25 once again. Being justified freely by His, God's grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. Now, right there you can put mercy seat. I read it in the Amplified. God has put forth Christ to be a mercy seat. You might say, well, why do you emphasize that? When you go back to such scriptures as Exodus chapter 25, I'll simply give you the chapter references. Exodus 25, chapter 29, chapter 30, number 17. When thinking of the tabernacle, when thinking of the Ark of the Covenant, and my, we hear so much about the Ark of the Covenant nowadays. But when thinking about the tabernacle and when thinking about the Ark of the Covenant particularly, God said, I will meet you there. And it has to be on the basis of the shedding of blood. And God used the tabernacle. He used the Ark of the Covenant. And He used these types and shadows throughout the Old Testament scriptures to illustrate Christ, who is the propitiation. He is the mercy seat. The Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood is the meeting place. This is the reason we sing, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I remember after being in the Bahamas, I think maybe it was over in Abaco for some meetings. When going back to Burlington, I heard that there had been a bank robbery at the First Union Bank where we used to carry on our transactions. And I heard there had been this bank robbery. A young man about 17 years old went into the bank on a Friday afternoon when there were a lot of people, pulled out a gun, and demanded that they all get on the floor. And I spoke to the teller that waited on me oftentimes. And I said to her, I heard about this bank robbery. Oh, she said, Mr. Schwartz, that was quite something. The young man, after robbing the bank, ran over to a mall. It must have been a suicide mission. And he pretty much waited on the police. And they killed him. But I said to the woman, I said, exactly what happened? Oh, she said, Mr. Schwartz, she said there was a long line of people here. And he was in line. And he just broke out of the line and pulled out that gun. And he said, everyone down on the floor. And she said, Mr. Schwartz, he jumped over this counter. I said, he jumped over this counter. Must be in good shape. She said, he jumped over this counter and he put the gun to my head because everyone else had gotten down on the floor. But she said, Mr. Swartz, you can see I'm a large person and I had difficulty getting down. And he put that gun to my head and said, get down, I said. And then he put it to my head again and he said, I said, get down or I'll kill you right now. And she said to me, oh, Mr. Swartz, I said, well, what went through your mind? Oh, she said, Mr. Swartz, I began to think about my husband and my boy, and I knew I was going to die, and she said, I knew I was not ready to die. She said, I was not ready to go out of this life. I said, oh, my goodness. Well, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, now other people are waiting, and so I couldn't take long. I said, remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I said, he died for you. He shed his blood to open the way to heaven for you and for all who will receive him as Savior. I came back a little later and gave her a booklet to read. I never heard whether or not she received Christ. But my friend, in order to be saved, it is by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the meeting place and the means by which God can meet with sinful humanity. Christ is the meeting place and his precious shed blood is the means. God said, I will meet you there. It was a German writer, Paul Feibig, who raised an interesting question. Another remarkable thing is this, he said. Why is precisely the blood of Jesus so often spoken of? Why is the redemption and the forgiveness of sins so often connected with the blood of Jesus? He's thinking, why not just say his death? Why is his death spoken of so many times in terms of his blood? This is remarkable, he said. For the death on the cross was not so very bloody that it should be precisely the blood of Jesus which so impressed the eyewitnesses and the first Christians. The evangelists, moreover, except John, chapter 19, verse 34, says nothing about it. This special emphasis on the blood cannot be explained, therefore, from the kind of death Jesus died. But the answer is to be found in the pages of the New Testament scriptures. For if a death, as he goes on to say, which was not particularly bloody, is always mentioned in terms of its blood, there must be a reason. And the answer is not far to find. The death of Jesus Christ is mentioned in terms of blood because the New Testament writers all thought of the death of Jesus Christ in terms of a sacrifice, an expiatory sacrifice. And we sometimes sing, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or take away its stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, took all our sin away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. Feibig said, one of the outstanding testimonies as to the value of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is this. Wherever the glorious gospel message has gone, Christ and him crucified, the shedding of his blood, their blood sacrifices have ceased to be offered, just as vapor lights go out when the sun rises. The shedding of the blood of Christ had and has the value of a sacrificial death, for otherwise it would not have had the power to penetrate into the inner world out of which blood sacrifices proceeded, and penetrating into it to meet and satisfy all the needs which blood sacrifices had intended to meet and satisfy. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In ancient Egypt, they offered blood sacrifices. In ancient Greece, they offered blood sacrifices. Ancient Persia, ancient Palestine, and they still offer blood sacrifices today. The Samaritans particularly. In Thrace, in Saxony, and in more modern times in Africa. Perhaps human sacrifice now, reached its zenith among the Aztecs in Mexico. Over 20,000 human bodies were sacrificed every year, offered to the gods of the Aztecs. It was Dr. Alexander Grigolia, the great Christian anthropologist, who stated that 95% of the world's population have practiced human sacrifice in religious ceremonies at some stage in their history. That is remarkable. Where did that thought come from, that one would have to offer blood sacrifice? God gave it in Leviticus 17 and 11. Of course, people's thinking of it has been perverted. But God said, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. And God said, I will meet you there. Now, Peter said, we are redeemed not with corruptible things as gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now, what constitutes preciousness? You think about that. What constitutes preciousness? A thing may be intrinsically valuable. It might be a very precious diamond. It might be pure gold. A thing may be intrinsically valuable, therefore it's precious. But on the other hand, something could have very little intrinsic value, like a match. And that can become very precious. I was watching television some time ago, and I happened to turn the channel to a documentary that was on. I only caught part of it. And this documentary told about a military pilot, a U.S. pilot, who was stationed in Turkey. He and his, I think the son was about 10 years old. He and his son went with some others on a skiing trip in the mountains of Turkey. And the father and the son got separated from the rest of those who were skiing. And this military pilot said on television, he said, I knew I was doing the wrong thing when I kept going in what I thought was the right direction, rather than just staying where I was. And so in this documentary, they were portraying what this father and son had done to stay alive. After 2 weeks, I believe it was, they were finally saved. But in and through that ordeal, the father kept telling how that they both were to the point where they knew they were going to freeze to death. And I thought, as I watched that, if he only had a match. If he only had a match. Dear friend, suppose at that time he had had a very precious diamond. And someone had a match that would save his life. Do you think he would give the diamond for the match? He would be foolish not to. So you see, something could be intrinsically valuable, like the diamond or the gold. Something could have very little intrinsic value, just a piece of wood with sulfur on the end of it. And yet, the situation can develop where that match can become very precious. What constitutes preciousness? Well, the lack of something. The more there is of something, the more the price will drop. The less there is of something, the more the price will increase. There is only one means of salvation. It is the precious shed blood of Christ. There's no other way to be saved but to meet God at the person of Christ on the basis of His shed blood. And when you call upon Christ to be your Savior, God will save you. But it's through faith in Christ and His shed blood. And some of you, no doubt, have heard this message many times. I was thinking as we were praying, if God were in some way to make known to you in unmistakable terms, I'm going to give you one opportunity to be saved. I will arrange that on a certain day, you will be given a certain message. Nothing complicated for you, but on a certain day, I will give you a message, and in your obedience to that message, I will save you and bring you to heaven when you leave planet Earth, and you'll be with me for all eternity. I think some of you would avail yourselves, maybe most of you, would avail yourselves of God's way of salvation, if it were put that way. And yet some of you have heard, and you have heard repeatedly that you need to be saved, and you know it. And yet you haven't, for whatever reasons, you haven't received Christ as your Savior. Why, dear friend? Why haven't you trusted Christ? What constitutes preciousness? Well, the lack of something. Or the scarcity of something. And Peter said, we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Because there is only one Lamb of God who shed His blood to accomplish eternal redemption for us. It is through the blood of Christ we have redemption, as we have read. It is through the blood of Christ we have propitiation, as we've read from Romans chapter 3. It is through the blood of Christ we are justified, Romans 5 and 9, being justified by His blood. It is through the blood of Christ we have forgiveness, Ephesians 1 and 7. It is through the blood of Christ that we have peace with God. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, Christ made peace by the blood of His cross. It is through the blood of Christ we have nearness to God, Ephesians 2:13. We are made near or placed into the very presence of God on the basis of the shed blood of Christ. It is through the blood of Christ we have cleansing from sin. John said, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Going back to the Old Testament scriptures, God stressed the sanctity of the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, God said. And the shedding of blood for forgiveness of sins was illustrated by the many Old Testament sacrifices. And the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, when He came, He said that it would be His blood. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And the shedding of the blood of Christ is stressed throughout the epistles. And when we get to the last book of the Bible, we read about all the redeemed, all of the saved, being home in heaven, singing about Christ and His precious shed blood. So it's precious because it redeems, it forgives, it justifies, it cleanses, it makes peace, and it brings us to God. Maybe I told you some time ago about the first World's Fair that was held in Chicago in 1939, I believe it was. I was just a boy. It was in 1939. And in that first World's Fair, they had what was called a Parliament of Religion. And in this Parliament of Religion were representatives of most of the religious systems all over the world. And representatives of these religious systems had their turn to speak and to tell something of their creeds, their points of religion, so that people would at least think about what they were being shared and make a decision. Now, the representative of Protestant Christianity was a man by the name of Dr. Joseph Cook, the celebrated congregational preacher and lecturer. And he spoke for Protestant Christianity. And he said that night, he spoke to that large audience, "Ladies and gentlemen, I take my text tonight from Macbeth's, or from Shakespeare's Macbeth. And I would draw your attention to the scene where Lady Macbeth, after the death of King Duncan, is being observed, and if you know the story, she was observed by the servant girl, the gentle woman she's called in the story, because Lady Macbeth was walking in her sleep, and she was going through some motions. And the servant woman, the gentle woman, went to get the doctor. And the doctor and the gentlewoman were observing Lady Macbeth walking in her sleep, and she's wringing her hands as if she were washing them. And she was saying, 'Out, damned spot! Who would have thought the old man to have had so much blood in him? What, will these hands ne'er be clean? Here is the smell of blood still. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten these hands.' For if you know the story, she was determined to have King Duncan killed so that her husband would ascend to the throne. And in that process, she was guilty of a number of people dying. And here she is walking in her sleep, knowing that blood is on her hands, and trying to clean those hands, but the blood is there still." And Dr. Joseph Cook said to all of the representatives of the religions of the world, "Now, what do you have for Lady Macbeth? What can you offer her to be clean in the sight of God? She has blood on her hands. What message do you have to give her?" He said, "I have a message for her.
I will point her to the one of whom I heard as a little boy at my mother's knee, as she read to me the word of God and told me about Jesus Christ, and that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. But remember, dear friend, it is a matter of you exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to meet with God to be at peace with Him, to have your sins forgiven, to be right with God and have a home in heaven, God says the meeting place is Jesus Christ. And the basis of the meeting is His precious shed blood. Will you receive Christ tonight? My unsaved friend, what's keeping you? You just think about it. Now, what is so important in your life that's keeping you from trusting Christ as your Savior? It's between you and the Lord. I'm just seeking to cause you to think more seriously. What is so important? Don't look at other people. Don't look at other things. Think about yourself before God. What is so important in your life that's keeping you from receiving Christ, your only hope of salvation? Will you receive Him tonight? I want us to turn to number 99 in Redemption Songs. Number 99, you know the song, but oh, my unsaved friend, will you, as we sing this song, slip out of your seat and walk over to the office? There'll be someone or ones there who are ready to help you. I stand ready to do so after this meeting, but there are others here ready to help. And you don't have to talk to us. Even while we sing, you can say, Lord Jesus, I want to be saved. I know I need to be saved, and I call upon you right now to be my Savior. He's waiting to come into your life. And when you receive Him as your Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. And His blood, it's in the present continuous form. His blood goes on cleansing you from all your sin. Will you receive Jesus Christ tonight? Let's sing number 99, the first, third, and fourth stanzas, 1, 3, and 4 of 99. You slip out of your seat, go right over to the office. Let's stand as we sing. And after we finish 1, 3, and 4, we'll have our brother Morris Pender to dismiss us in a word of prayer. Number 99, let's stand as we sing.